Living in the country or in one of the many small villages or cities in western Wisconsin has a lot of benefits. You might have a parcel of land to work or enjoy. The sounds around you may have more to do with nature than business. You know your neighbors and you can trust them with your spare house key. But that rural life can come with trade-offs. Many parts of western Wisconsin have trouble getting access to affordable high-speed internet, if they get it at all. And with more of our lives, from shopping to banking to medicine, relying on internet access, well, there's a push to fix those shortfalls on all levels of communications, telecommunications, and government. We'll check in on those efforts as they affect western Wisconsin as we explore broadband here on the west side. Good morning, I'm Dean Kallenbach. Coming up later in the show, we'll hear from three elected officials from three different levels of government, Member of Congress Ron Kind, State Senator Patrick Teston, and Buffalo County Board Supervisor David Danziger. Our guests who open the show and who will be with us throughout are Dennis Bachman. Dennis is Chief Executive Officer and General Manager of Citizens Connected, a telecommunications cooperative based in New Auburn. Dennis Bachman, welcome.
Thank you.
And Steve Bowder, the Director of Engineering for the Wisconsin Educational Communications Board. Steve, good to have you on.
Always a pleasure, Dean.
And as always, you're welcome to join the conversation. How's your internet? What's worked? What hasn't worked for you? And how many choices do you have? Join the conversation at 800-228-5615. That's 800-228-5615. So, Steve Bowder, if the audience didn't recognize the agency you work for, the Wisconsin Educational Communications Board is one of the two partners, along with UW-Madison, in Wisconsin Public Broadcasting, television and radio. And so we've worked together in some capacity or another for three-plus decades. And many times I've asked you this question, like 100 times, what does that mean? So I'll do it again. What is broadband? What does it mean?
Broadband is, there's a sliding scale for broadband as far as capacity and technology, the technology being applied. For over-the-air wireless broadband, 20 megabits would be considered broadband, maybe even 10 megabits by some. Fiber, on the other hand, probably more like a gigabit would be broadband. So there's a whole spectrum of broadband technologies, and again, it depends on the technology in use.
Let's talk about that a little bit. What technology can supply those kinds of connections? You mentioned a couple there, but what are the different technologies and what are the types of companies that provide them?
So on the telephone company side, if they provide broadband via copper, that's DSL, various DSL circuits, which is somewhat limited, although that will reach the 20 megabit broadband benchmark. There's also fiber to the home by telcos. Some telephone companies also provide wireless broadband services. So as far as wireless broadband, there's fixed wireless, which is generally unlicensed. There is licensed broadband, licensed wireless, which is a typical LTE-type network that's provided by telephone companies, cellular telephone companies, and others.
Help me, what's LTE?
LTE is long-term evolution. Mm-hmm. It's the precursor to 5G. And then there are white space networks. There are other licensed networks using EBS, educational broadband service frequencies. So there's a whole spectrum of options for broadband.
And define white space networks. What are those?
White space is, the white spaces are the spaces between television channels.
Yeah.
Not every market has every television channel in use.
Sure.
So, there are some white spaces and wireless microphones that use those white spaces.
How are these high-speed connections then different than other kinds of internet connections? Is it simply the speed?
Yes. The speed is one of the hallmarks, but historically DSL has been around for a very long time, and that's still widely in use, but there's a limitation to DSL. A distance from the central office, which has been pushed and pushed and pushed. We're just about at the limit of pushing that out from the central office now, which is where fiber to the home comes in from the telephone companies.
The state broadband director, Angie Dick, Dickerson of the Public Service Commission told WPR this spring that broadband access isn't just nice, it's necessary. And so, Dennis Bachman, why is broadband so important for rural areas like the one you serve?
Well, if you want to keep people in the rural area, they need broadband for doing their homework, doing any business reporting. All your reporting's going online, so everybody is needing to do that. Entertainment, I mean, you're sitting out there. You got the streaming, the over-the-top apps that everybody is doing and need. Prime example is we had a customer who moved out of our area into a neighboring area and could not get broadband, and they had to drive their son into town to the library to get broadband every night to do homework.
Yeah.
So it's becoming every day.
Use the term over-the-top. What does that mean?
The Netflix, the streaming, things, gaming, things like that.
The stuff that takes a lot of capacity.
Yes.
Your company, Citizens Connected, was known for many years as Citizens Telephone Cooperative. We have several similar co-ops in western Wisconsin that made it possible for rural areas initially, when they were created, made it possible for rural areas of the state to have telephone services. How does your history play into this broadband conversation?
We started getting into broadband back in 95 roughly, trying to get into it. And as they did when they brought telephone, we worked on continuing when broadband started coming out. We seen the necessity for our members, our people that live in the area, to get the same services as what they could get in metropolitan areas. So we continue to grow and build that way.
Can you define your service area for me?
Our service area basically covers the New Auburn area and east out in through the lake area. And then we have Canton area, which is north of Chautauqua and east of Rice Lake. So it's all rural. New Auburn's the only incorporated village in the whole area.
So particularly the lakes area to the east, there's probably significant challenges in providing service in those areas, right?
Yeah. I mean, we've got areas where you can see the house, but it's a 20-minute, 25-minute drive to get there.
Yeah.
So
interesting. So if rural areas don't have adequate or accessible internet, how is the rest of the state affected? In other words, Steve Bowder, why should non-rural people in Wisconsin care about rural broadband?
Well, it's a state issue, as you've mentioned already. The folks in the rural areas, of course, live there for a reason, and originally probably were willing to make some trade-offs to live there, but that's becoming less and less acceptable. And if we care at all about economic development in rural areas, we can't do it without rural broadband.
Do all the choices make coordinating these efforts? In other words, some places there are many choices on how one could get this with various prices. In some places there's one choice. In some places there are no choices. But does this the different technologies involved, and Dennis Bachman, I'll put this question to you, does that make it more difficult to coordinate these efforts?
Yeah, in our area, which is a lot of lakes, trees, swamps, we're basically limited to fiber. If you want quality service, you're wireless with the foliage. You get storms, ends up going wireless, has issues. And when we looked at it, we looked at the cost of doing future proof so we don't have to do this over and over. And basically, we went with fiber directly to the home.
Mm-hmm. Steve Bowder, Wisconsin Educational Communications Board, we mentioned it's part of the Wisconsin Public Radio and Television Partnership, but K-12 education is also a significant part of its work. What is Wisconsin Educational Communications Board's interest in this topic of broadband?
Technology for K-12 education is at the core of what we do at ECB. In addition to Wisconsin Public Television, Wisconsin Public Radio, weather alerts, amber alerts. So K-12 has always been a focus. We've always been interested in providing those technology services. We have worked diligently to help close the homework gap for school districts who do not have means at their disposal to help those kids who, as Dennis mentioned, they go home, they don't have broadband internet, they're in trouble, they need to figure something out. So we're working with various school districts. As a matter of fact, we just executed an agreement with CESA 10 to distribute about 1,000 wireless wireless broadband devices in the CESA 10 service area.
Interesting. there are hundreds of companies offering internet service in Wisconsin, yet some small communities have only one service provider option. If that provider doesn't meet their needs at a price they can afford, then the community is out of luck. What's the importance of having more than one provider to choose from? And I'll start, Steve Bowder, with you, but Dennis Bachman, I'll put that question to you, because I'm guessing in your community that's probably the case many times, right? So, how important is choice?
So choice is very important, but we are focused at ECB on those areas that have no broadband wireless access, and there are many areas in the state. Those who are far enough away from the central office so that DSL does not work, those who do not have fiber to the home, those who do not have cell service. And there are many, many areas in this part of the state in that category. Yes, it would be nice to have choices, but our first responsibility at ECB is to make sure everyone that can have broadband wireless has it.
So Dennis Bachman, Citizens Connected Cooperative, but in many cases the only option for your customers. How do you keep prices affordable, and how who's to keep you from jacking them up?
Well, we're basically, as a co-op, we're owned by the people we serve. So the rates, we got to keep competitive. We do in the Village of New Auburn have one competitor, a cable company. Outside of that, they don't, So competition is good. You got to stay. I mean, everybody sees the ads on TV, and we hear about it when they see the special ads that have this cheap internet, and they're watching a Minneapolis station or something like that. But competition is great if you can afford it, but you got to look at a lot of these rural unserved areas are because of the high cost. And I mean, it's not viable for one provider to go out there. How is it going to be viable for multiple? So
we're talking about high-speed internet access through broadband here in Western Wisconsin. Our guests are Steve Bowder of the Wisconsin Educational Communications Board and Dennis Bachman of Citizens Connected Cooperative in New Auburn. Coming up, we turn our focus to what government is trying to do about the broadband imbalance. We hear later in the hour from Member of Congress Ron Kind and from Buffalo County Board Supervisor David Danziger. But after the break, we'll fold State Senator Patrick Teston into our conversation. The topic is broadband, and we're back for more in a minute. Here on the Ideas Network, I'm Dean Kallenbach, and this is The West Side. This morning, our conversation centers on the topic of rural broadband and the efforts to make it faster, more reliable, and more affordable. We've been talking with Dennis Bachman of Citizens Connected Cooperative of New Auburn and Steve Bowder of the Wisconsin Educational Communications Board. And we're now joined by State Senator Patrick Teston. Senator Teston is a Republican from Stevens Point who serves the 24th Senate District, which includes portions of Jackson, Monroe, Wood, Adams, and Washera counties, and all of Portage County. Senator Teston, good to have you with us this morning.
Thanks for having me on.
So Wisconsin ranks 36th in the nation for internet connection. Why is our state, in your opinion, in the bottom half there?
Well, it's certainly a problem that is being addressed both at the federal level as well as the state level. So Wisconsin is going to see a huge investment through the federal level through the Connecting America Fund 2 program. And that's money that is being delegated from the federal government to some of the large providers that you may be aware of, such as AT&T and other large networks such as that. At the state level, we've, through the Public Service Commission, have created broadband expansion grants, and these go towards smaller providers that go into truly underserved areas. We live in a day and age when high-speed internet is no longer a luxury, it's a necessity. And we want to make sure that wherever you live in the state of Wisconsin, you can have high-speed internet. And so a prime example, back in the 2017 budget, we had a significant investment in broadband expansion grants, $23 million, an additional $7 million go to the TEACH program. And then in this past budget that was just signed into law by Governor Evers, we upped that investment for broadband expansion grants to $44 million. And so in that time frame, from 2014 to 2018, we have connected over 4,000 businesses and over 75,000 households with high-speed internet. So we're making significant strides in the right direction.
Is there any current legislation you're working on relating to other aspects of broadband?
Yes, there's been a couple initiatives that we continue to focus on, like telecommuter forward communities. This was legislation that was actually drafted last session between Senator Howard Markline and myself to encourage communities to become telecommuter friendly, especially in today's day and age where when you take a look at demographics such as millennials, there's a huge need for that life-work balance, and if people can work from home, that's an added incentive. And so we continue to work with our partners both at the state level as well as the federal level to make this a priority. I can't tell you how many times I've heard conversations, whether it's from parents or school administrators, to talk about how they have to loan out hotspots or they have to take their son or daughter to, say, a McDonald's parking lot just so they can get Wi-Fi to catch up on homework. And so that's why these investments are necessary. It's also important for small businesses and even the medical profession. And so this is really part of our infrastructure now. And that's why we're trying to make these targeted investments in truly the underserved areas while the federal support goes to help broaden the larger networks and the larger providers.
The State Broadband Office has a goal of connecting the entire state to high-speed internet by 2025. Senator Tessin, is that a reasonable goal?
It's a lofty goal, and one, if we can hit it, that would be fantastic. I think it sends a strong message that, you know, this is an issue that has bipartisan support that we can all get on board with and ensure that we can connect every corner of the state. Because it's really, like I said, part of our infrastructure. Not only that, I really do see this as talent attraction. When you talk to realtors and when they're in the process of trying to sell a home, if there's no connectivity, the likelihood that you're going to be able to sell that home has just gone through the roof. And I can tell you, last summer, I was in the town of Plover, just outside of Stevens Point, where that township had received a broadband expansion grant and worked with a provider called Solaris. Right along the Wisconsin River, I mean, these are homes that are well within the six figures, upper six figures, beautiful homes on the Wisconsin River, but there is no internet connectivity. And so it just goes to show that this is it's a problem that we're addressing, and I'm glad to see that this has gained the attention of Democrats and Republicans alike, because this is not a partisan issue, and we want to make sure that Wisconsin steps up our game and ensures that we're connected.
Senator Tessin, thanks for taking the time to talk to us a little bit about the efforts with state government to expand and to improve broadband connections. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So returning to our guest, Steve Bowder from the Wisconsin Educational Communications Board and Dennis Bachman from Citizens Connected in New Auburn. Steve Bowder, we heard about that goal of getting the whole state to high-speed internet by 2025. Technologically, what would it take to make that happen?
Again, it would take an overlay of multiple technologies. From fiber to the home to unlicensed wireless to white space devices to LTE networks. And that's the only way it's going to happen. There are areas that are much easier to get to with fiber, but there are areas where there is such sparse population, it's just hard to make fiber pay. That's where wireless comes in.
And Dennis Bachman, how do cooperatives like yours work with the State Broadband Office in an effort to help this progress?
We've actually went out and requested broadband grant in some of the rural area. We received one last year for a joint venture that we're doing with Chippewa Valley Electric called Intera over in the Holcomb area. And we have an area there that is very sparsely populated, and the only way we could justify it was getting some additional support from the broadband grants. So it's very critical. You're going into areas that you got to make a business case for, and you know you can't lose money, but you don't necessarily, most co-ops aren't thinking that they got to make big margins. They just need to be able to cover their cost, and there's some areas the only way you're going to do it is with some help.
So the federal government is also talking about a broadband strategy. Ron Kind, who represents Wisconsin's 3rd District, was recently named to a congressional task force on broadband. Representative Kind's district stretches along most of the western border of Wisconsin and also includes parts of central Wisconsin. He told me last week that the issue has changed a great deal during his 20 years in office.
Well, it is a beautiful district, Dean, probably one of the most beautiful in the nation, but it is large, it's rural, it's diverse. You've got a mix of urban, suburban, and a lot of rural, small communities, too. And, you know, when I was first elected back in 97, the iPhone wasn't even invented. You know, the social media that has exploded in the last 8-9 years didn't even exist then. And so much of the economy being driven by high tech and information super lanes is something that poses one of the great unique challenges, especially throughout rural America and this congressional district. So I was happy that I got appointed to the National Rural Broadband Task Force so we can do a deep dive into the mapping of the areas to make sure that we're getting an accurate assessment as far as where the connection is occurring and where it's pulling up short, and then assessing the multitude of programs that are meant to address it. And that, is, I think, is part of the problem. It's just so multifaceted in so many different federal agencies and federal programs and even at the state level to try to coordinate all that to maximize the resources that we have is a real challenge moving forward.
What do you hear from constituents regarding broadband and internet access?
Well, access, obviously, is speed is crucial. The delivery mode, too, is a challenge in rural areas. But I've got some pockets of black holes out there. I'm looking at Adams County, Juneau, Richland County in particular. They typically rank one of the lowest when it comes to broadband high-speed internet connection. The state as a whole ranks, I believe, 36 out of 50 when it comes to broadband connectivity. So even our entire state is lagging in regards to the national average. And that's not good. It's not good for economic development. It's not good making sure that the rural areas have a chance of being resourced to succeed in the 21st century global economy. It's crucial for families, businesses, farmers, but it's essential for the young people. And if we don't want to see a flight of young people from rural to urban, you got to get them broadband connection or they're going to move to where they can get it. So this is a huge economic development issue, not to mention telemedicine is significantly influenced through access and just educational opportunities generally.
I want to go back to your recent appointment to the House Task Force on Rural Broadband Expansion. What are the specific goals of the task force, and how do you know at this point how those goals, how what the hope is to meet those goals?
Yeah, you know, it's a bipartisan effort to try to bring Congress together on a common plan and strategy, which is amazing. Here we are, 2019, and we still don't really have a good national strategy on broadband deployment for our country. I mean, we know we're in a race for 5G deployment with China and other countries that we do not want to lose. And yet for too long, it's been kind of a patchwork of federal programs, state programs, local entities taking it on themselves to try to meet this demand. And primarily private sector driven, too. There aren't a lot of federal programs that are actually doing the building. And that, too, is going to require some coordination. You know, at the federal level, one of the goals is to have an accurate mapping. And that's always controversial, depending on what speed you used, mode of delivery. And so we have to have a common definition to get a common map that applies throughout the country so we know where the high-need areas are. And then, again, at the federal level, you've got three federal agencies, each with their fingers in the broadband deployment pie. Of course, USDA with a multitude of programs through that, including the Farm Bill. You've got the Department of Commerce with Broadband USA. You've got the FCC, naturally, through Connect America, the E-Rate program, Lifeline program, rural health care program. So again, it's a patchwork out there and confusing for people back home. They don't know where to turn, where to access it, how they can obtain these loans or grants that do exist at the federal level. And then finally, the task force needs to do a better job getting the federal agencies coordinated with the state initiatives. And of course, here in Wisconsin, there's been bipartisan work to try to push out a good broadband plan, but again, given tight budgets, wherever you turn, I think it's going to require a partnership at all levels, federal, state, and local, and, of course, working with the private sector to address the concerns that they have.
We're talking with Ron Kind, the 3rd District Representative in Congress for Western Wisconsin. We're talking about broadband, and you this year co-sponsored the appropriations bill that included a bipartisan agreement to increase federal funding for rural broadband loans and grants by $55 million. How do you see that affecting internet for folks here in Western Wisconsin?
Well, that was through the Department of Agriculture, mainly the Farm Bill, and we have historical precedent of using those programs through the Farm Bill to do the build-out. We didn't direct where the spending was going. We certainly want the private marketplace to compete and with full transparency get better efficiency on the use of those dollars. But I also believe, you know, as a representative of so many rural electric co-ops throughout my congressional district, throughout Wisconsin generally, that they're going to play a pretty important role, I feel, moving forward. They already have easement rights, and the role that they played in providing rural electricity in the 20th century, I think they're uniquely positioned to play the same role delivering rural broadband connection in the 21st century. And working with the rural electrics that we have at home here and at the national level, they're putting together a good plan, which I think makes a lot of sense given the lines that that already exist. And when you're talking high speed and ease of mode with broadband in rural areas, nothing's going to beat fiber right now. And again, I think the rural electrics, because of their lines that they've already established, can best deliver that. And if they choose to partner with other private companies, I think this could work pretty well going forward.
You talked about the need for private local organizations to be involved. What role do state and local governments play to improve connectivity?
Well, I think right now we're seeing in Wisconsin, throughout the country, easement rights is a big issue that the states have direct jurisdiction over. And in the past, you know, even though the rural electrics had right of easement when it came to the delivery of electricity throughout the rural areas, when it came to broadband deployment, they'd have to go house to house to house to get individual permission from each landowner in order to extend some fiber for broadband, which doesn't make a lot of sense because they already have easement for electricity purposes that should extend to broadband. So many states, Wisconsin too is looking at it, but states like Indiana, Virginia, Ohio, have passed legislation that basically says, listen, if a co-op has right of easement when it comes to the telephone line or the electricity lines, that then would also apply for broadband deployment. So it could clear out the underbrush, make it much more efficient if they choose to invest in this area, and quite frankly, make it easier for them to apply then for the federal grants and loans that are available to them.
Thanks for talking to us today. One last question. From your perspective, what's the next big thing to come out of the federal government and the Congress as it relates to broadband?
Well, first of all, we got to get our own act in order in Washington. The coordination of the various federal agencies to have some jurisdiction on this. We're looking at ways of consolidating it, making it easier and more efficient, and then greater coordination at the federal state level. So right hand knows what left hand is doing out there. We desperately need a national broadband strategy. The fact that we don't in 2019 is a bit of an embarrassment. Other countries are getting their act in order. It's important for us to do the same thing so we can remain on the cutting edge. New discoveries, new technological breakthroughs. No reason why we can't be first with 5G. We need to if we're going to maintain our competitiveness in the global economy.
Member of Congress Ron Kind, thanks so much for joining us today on the West Side.
Thanks, Dean.
So we're back live on the West Side with our guests, Steve Bowder of the Wisconsin Educational Communications Board and Dennis Bachman of Citizens Connected Cooperative in New Auburn. Dennis Bachman, following up on something Representative Kind talked about, you're involved with a traditional communications co-op, but the other thing he talked about were rural electric co-ops. Do you coordinate with rural electric co-ops in your territory, and is that a common practice?
Within our territory, we're 100% ourselves. We do work with electric co-ops. We joint plow. We do joint work together. We've created a subsidiary, 50% owned by Citizens and 50% owned by Chippewa Valley Electric, to go into a rural area that is underserved or very unserved and do the fiber build. And, you know, he spoke about the electrics and their easement issue. We do very little pole attachments, unfortunately, because their older easements do not allow for broadband. Their newer easements do, so we have some areas that can be done. But, we've partnered up since 2017 now and have built out to the Holcomb area.
So Steve Bowder, he talked about a lack of coordination among agencies and organizations. There are some new efforts underway in Wisconsin, are there not, to try to get more coordination of this sort of thing?
Yes. So there was an initial meeting a month or so ago between Department of Public Instruction, PSC, ECB, and other stakeholders to coordinate rural broadband wireless and ECB's role, Educational Communications Board role in that deployment. And that was a fruitful meeting. There are a lot of possibilities that we expect to explore. As a matter of fact, right now, as we speak, we have an RFP on the request for proposal on the street for partnering with the traditional cell phone carriers to exchange space on ECB's 14 towers for broadband wireless devices, hotspots. So not a traditional lease. We would exchange their service for space on our towers so that then we can redeploy those devices, just as we have done with CISA 10, to schools and to accredited educational institutions.
So there's an instance where some collaboration results in everybody winning and
yes,
you know, nobody having to have a redundant sort of program.
That's correct, yeah.
We invite you to join the conversation, 800-228-5615, 800-228-5615. Joanne from Mondovi has done just that. Joanne, thanks for waiting. Welcome on to the West Side. Are you with us, Joanne? Go ahead.
Julia?
Oh, I'm sorry. Julia?
Okay, I wasn't sure.
But you were from Mondovi, correct?
Yep.
All right. Thanks. Go ahead.
Yeah, I do agree with Ron Kind. I think maybe the rural electrics would be the best avenue for current users, you know, to update to a fiber optic. The phone company in this area is not locally owned, and, you know, they just don't seem to make it a priority to service the customers. And the infrastructure is very old in a lot of places, even non-existent. We have an upload speed of 1.1 megabits per second and a download of 1.7 megabits, which is so low that most of the time you time out when you're trying to connect. And during that time that you do get a connection, you could get 50 disconnections, and I'm not exaggerating in the least, 50 disconnections throughout that whole day. Disconnect, reconnect, disconnect, reconnect. You can't really, you know, it's not really a usable DSL. And, you know, basically what we've been told by the service provider and the techs is that, you know, they've oversold their product. They've sold it to some businesses who want a lower dollar amount service. And, you know, so it just bottles it up when you get, you know, a number of businesses on a particular line. Now, I've looked into it, and in order for providers to start up new service to people that haven't had it, you know, expand service to new customers that aren't currently connected to anything, that they have to provide a minimum of 10 megabits per second in order to use the government money that has been allocated. And I know our local phone, Frontier Net, has been allocated some of that money. And I just feel that really they should not even be eligible for money for expanding to new customer base until they take care of the current customers.
Joanne,
you know, we have a high schooler also and wasn't able to take an online class because of it, because you just can't rely on the connection. And I find it kind of hilarious that Frontier has mandatory paperless billing now, and a lot of times I can't even access my bill online, you know, get a connection to even look at my telephone bill.
Well, Julia, thank you for calling. I assume you live in Buffalo County?
Yes.
We'll be hearing from one of your county board supervisors coming right up. Staying with us on our topic of broadband access in Western Wisconsin are Steve Bowder of the Wisconsin Educational Communications Board and Dennis Bachman of Citizens Connected Cooperative in New Auburn. And after the break, we will bring in our third elected official to speak to the topic, David Danziger of the Buffalo County Board of Supervisors. I'm Dean Kallenbach. You're listening to The West Side on the Ideas Network. Today on The West Side, our topic is broadband expansion in Western Wisconsin. Joining us throughout the hour are Dennis Bachman of Citizens Connected in New Auburn and Steve Bowder from the Wisconsin Education Communications Board. And before we move on, I do want to check in. Dennis Bachman, we just heard from Julia in Mondovi, dissatisfied with the service, that DSL service that she's getting from her phone company, and frustrated that her phone company is getting grants to build out DSL to new customers. is that a common problem for phone companies around the state?
That seems to be the common issue that we hear a lot, that these larger providers got what they call Connect America Fund 2 funds, which is to help them build out to the census blocks that they have. They have to reach a certain percentage at each time frame to receive the funding, and if they don't, there's penalties that the FCC puts on them. But that was to serve their area, the rural, non-served area, but they can use it in different areas, and so not all of their census blocks are going to really be funded.
Thanks for that clarification. We have earlier in the hour heard about federal congressional efforts underway from Representative Ron Kind, and State Senator Patrick Teston talked about efforts in the state legislature, but Alma resident David Danziger also has a perspective on this, a different government perspective. He's a member of the Board of Supervisors in Buffalo County, one of the most rural counties in Wisconsin. In fact, of Wisconsin's 72 counties, only 5 have fewer residents than Buffalo. And he told me last week that the county's sparse population and a relatively large geography presents a challenge when it comes to broadband availability and a wide variety of connectivity.
Great disparity. We have people that have excellent broadband and people that have very poor broadband. And that's for several reasons. The major reason being that to really have good broadband, the gold standard is having buried fiber line. And many of the large carriers, which have some of the cities, have opted not to do that in these rural areas because they feel they don't have enough return on their money. The people that have very good broadband in our county have it provided by the co-ops. We have 3 co-ops in the county, and they have buried fiber optics to all of their customers.
Well, in addition to being a rural county, Buffalo County has a wide range of geography, from the farmlands near Mondovia and Gilmanton to the north, to the Mississippi River Valley between Alma and Fountain City. What kinds of challenges does that cause for broadband access?
That presents a problem if you try to go to the next level, which is doing it wireless, because you cannot shoot up in some of these valleys and places. If any of your listeners have ever been to Cream or Prague, they'll know that sits in a valley. They have extremely poor broadband there. They cannot get it in their wireless, and it's in a rural area, very few population, so there's not a financial thing to go there unless it's a co-op which is willing to put the money into it. But unfortunately, that area is covered by a large national company, and they do not spend any money there.
As a county board supervisor, you're a member of the Buffalo County Broadband Advisory Group, which I understand is made up of volunteers from the community. How did that group get its start, and what are you working on now?
We started out 6 years ago. I got on the board, and we at that time felt there was a need to do an economic development committee, and I chair that committee. And out of that committee, after doing some checking into, there were several economic studies done on Buffalo County. One dealing from Extension did one, another group of people did one. We applied for a grant, and at that time we were having some issues. We have lost 2 large employers in the county. Foremost Cheese Plant at Wamedy closed, that was 50 jobs, and one of the power plants in Alma closed, which we lost 50 jobs out of. So there's 100 jobs lost, and we're kind of concerned where this is going for economic development in the county. And at the end of the study, one of the things the study said that if we're going to go into the next 21st century, we need broadband all over the county. And we decided to put a group together. We asked for volunteers, and I called a few people I knew, and particularly we're interested in people that had issues in their areas, and we put this group together. And we've been meeting for about 3 years now. The first year we pretty much focused on trying to figure out how the lay of the land was. We invited all the telecommunication people to come in from the major player, the big commercial companies, to the co-ops, to the people that offer wireless other means, from satellite or off repeaters on towers, and tried to get what we could do in the county and what was a possibility. We, after looking at some of this, we actually did a map of the county. We know where all the existing fiber is. We know where towers are. and tried to lay that out. And we get some areas that were some problems. And we passed something called a Broadband Forward Initiative, which comes out of the public service community. And 15 counties have done this. Buffalo County was the second county to pass this. And what it does, it guarantees that if someone comes here to do a project, we will facilitate it best we can as a county. We're not going to hold up permits. We're going to let you road right away. We want to get fiber buried in the county. We will work with anyone. And this acted as a group for partnerships. And we just happened to be at the right place at the right time that a township called the Town of Milton, which is between Cochran and Fountain City, a rural township, had a little bit of broadband in one corner, fiber, but most of it was not. It had very poor, and they really wanted to do something. And we ended up working up a partnership between Town of Milton, the town of the Buffalo County, the state, and the local telephone co-op. And we have full fiber being buried in that county right now. And as of this fall, we hope to complete that project. And there was money put up by all these partners to get this done. So this is one of the, it's worked out fairly well. That's probably our biggest success. We also have an organization out of Minnesota called Hiawatha Broadband, and they do quite a bit of communications. They have put they do things by wireless along, and their terrain on the other side of the river is very similar to ours, and they go back in these valleys, and they have some very good wireless equipment, and they understand how to work that market. And they have bounced into Buffalo County using existing structures, whether it's a tower, a saddle, or a grain elevator, or a grain bin. They put a repeater on top of that, and they can repeat a signal three times. And they can get speeds up to fast enough to do video streaming, and that's what most people need.
Yeah.
So those are probably our biggest things that we've accomplished so far. And we do have a couple projects going forward, trying to get in some of these valleys, doing some experiments where we're using some of this wireless equipment, and we'd like to put it on existing electric poles, which have some issues. There's safety issues. We have to be careful, but other parts of the country hasn't done this. And if you ever go drive through the town of Pepin, you'll see on their light posts in the town, there's little units. That town went pretty much all wireless, which HBC, and didn't have to bury anything in the ground.
We're talking broadband. On the phone with us is a county board supervisor for Buffalo County, David Danziger. And you mentioned also that you're chair of the Economic Development Committee, and you yourself are a business person as a co-owner of a vineyard in the Alma area. What does broadband mean to your business, and what's your situation as far as internet access is concerned?
Well, I'm in an interesting situation. My family is also, we've been dairy farmers, and my sons took over the dairy about 15 years ago. And as you know, these dairy farms are starting, they need more and more broadband. And we were serviced by one of these large privates with very poor service, and that also serviced our vineyard. And we had a lot of difficulty with credit card readers and things like this, making this work on a busy day. And in our business, about 80% of our business is done by credit cards in our winery. And because there was a group of towers in that area, one of the co-op put a line up to the towers. These towers want to have fiber optics attached to them. And with those lines to those towers, then they when they're going by, they would drop lines into business, and our business got that. But our farm did not get that. And our farm then eventually ended up getting on one of these deals with HBC, which is better than what we had, not as good as fiber, but we can work with it. We would like to have, you know, be on fiber, but that's just not happening all over. So we're slowly working forward. In my experience, it's been a positive experience for our business. But I know some other businesses in rural areas are having some problems. They open up a little place out in the country, and they can't get their credit card reader to work right and get the internet connection they want.
What can other counties and communities in western Wisconsin learn from what you're doing in Buffalo County?
Well, you know, number one, you have to pass this broadband forward. And then you need to try to get everyone to sit down at the table. That's the big thing, because there are there are different players here. There's these large companies, AT&T, Frontier, you know, these type of companies are in the county. And then we have the co-ops that are in the county. And they both have a little bit different business plans. And you have to sit them all down and try to work out something. It is possible for co-ops to bury lines into areas that are not their normal service area if no one else is not providing that service and is not willing to bury the fiber into there. But that's a costly practice, and these co-ops only have limited funds, so it's very, the co-op has to be very concerned about the financial end of all this.
David Danziger, sure appreciate the time you spent with us today, and thanks for your insights.
Yep, thank you.
And we come back for the remainder of our program on broadband today with Dennis Bachman of Citizens Connected Co-op in New Auburn and Steve Bowder of the Wisconsin Educational Communications Board. Dennis Bachman, toward the end there, Mr. Danziger talked about the ability for co-ops like yours to move into other service areas if service isn't provided. Is that a practice that your co-op has considered or has been a part of?
We've been a part of that. We've done that. He's right. You got to watch your debt equity. You know, when we built out our service area, we used USDA, our Rural Utility Service Funds, and they have loan covenants that you got to be able to show that you're financially sound. We're lucky we are, and we've done that, but we've used our funds to go outside of our area and continue to grow.
Steve Bowder, he also talked about, it seemed like some fairly ingenious ways to make these things work. Wireless is not the optimum, but fiber optic, for the same reason that people have trouble with wireless, fiber optic in those kinds of deep valleys and that sort of thing might be even more of a problem. And he, you know, talked about the idea of bouncing off existing structures, that sort of thing. Is that sort of experimentation and ingenuity something that you see going forward as being some more solutions for places that are having trouble right now?
Sure, definitely. As one of your guests mentioned, fiber to the home is the gold standard.
Right.
And it's easier to do fiber in areas like Buffalo County than it is to do wireless for the reasons that Mr. Danziger mentioned. But yes, there are many innovative technologies when it comes to wireless broadband. But even the best of wireless broadband still is nothing compared to fiber to the home.
Yeah.
We do towers and transmitters at Educational Communications Board. So that's where our interest is. That's where we are interested in assisting others in deploying wireless broadband and facilitating and being the subject matter expert, especially for white space. But we understand this is wireless is pales in comparison to fiber to the home.
So thank you to our guests today. That was the voice of Steve Bowder. We also heard earlier this hour from State Senator Patrick Teston, member of Congress Rod Kind, and Buffalo County Supervisor David Danziger. Of course, we do thank our guests who were with us throughout the hour. Dennis Bachman, General Manager of Citizens Connected Cooperative in New Auburn, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And Steve Bowder, Director of Engineering with the Educational Communications Board, which in addition to helping with K-12 with educational technology is, of course, one of the partners in Wisconsin Public Radio and Television. And though we've been colleagues for nearly a third of a century, I think this is the first time I've managed to get you on this side of the microphone. So just in time, he's retiring later this month. And as a going away gift, I'll make sure you get a reel-to-reel tape of this program.
Nice.
Yeah. Catherine Thomas did a masterful job producing this program. Publicity came from Ali Schulze and Kate Spranger, and our on-air producer was Mort Cypress. Join us next week as we delve into the quality of drinking water here in Western Wisconsin during this hour. You've been listening to The West Side. I'm Dean Kallenbach. This is the Ideas Network.